What if I told you that in just the first 6 months of this year, AI startups raised a record-breaking $510 billion? That's more than the total for all of 2025. And two companies, OpenAI and Anthropic, took home 43% of that haul. This isn't just hype. It's a historic reallocation of global capital, and the shockwaves are hitting every factory floor and trading desk in the West. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking an unprecedented flood of capital into the AI sector. This isn't just about funding rounds. It's igniting a fierce hardware arms race, creating new on-the-ground deployment models, and dramatically sharpening the lines of geopolitical competition. We'll be breaking down what this means for U.S. and European companies trying to navigate a landscape that is changing faster than ever. Troy, let's start with the foundation of this entire boom, the hardware. South Korea just made a staggering announcement.
They did. On July 2nd, the South Korean government pledged approximately $252 billion to support Samsung and SK Hynix in constructing new high-bandwidth memory, or HBM, packaging factories.
Okay, a quarter of $1 trillion is a number that gets my attention. Break that down for us. What exactly is HBM, and why is it suddenly the most important component in the world?
Think of HBM as a multi-lane superhighway for data, stacked vertically right next to the main AI processor. Standard memory is like a single-lane country road. To train and run large AI models, you need the superhighway to feed the processor data without bottlenecks. This investment is a direct response to a global shortage and a strategic move by South Korea to dominate a critical choke point in the AI supply chain.
So how does this specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers? Are they just customers at the end of this very expensive supply chain?
For some, yes. If you're building products with AI chips, this signals a potential easing of supply constraints by 2028 or 2029, but likely continued price pressure until then. More importantly, European and American companies are critical suppliers to this build-out. Dutch firm ASML provides the essential lithography machines. German chemical companies provide the specialized gases and materials. U.S. firms like Applied Materials and Lam Research provide the deposition and edge equipment. This is a massive opportunity for the entire semiconductor equipment ecosystem.
And for trading companies and distributors?
For those trading in components, this solidifies South Korea as the epicenter for HBM sourcing. But watch for second-order effects. The power and cooling infrastructure required for these fabs is immense, creating opportunities for distributors of industrial, electrical, and HVAC equipment. The actionable insight for executives is clear. If you are in the semiconductor capital equipment supply chain, your demand forecast for the next 5 years just received a massive tailwind. It's time to reevaluate capacity and lock in long-term supply agreements.
This hardware race isn't just about supply, it's also about competition. For years, NVIDIA has been the undisputed king, but we're seeing new reports that suggest that dominance might be challenged.
That's right. Recent MLPerf industry benchmarks show that AMD's new MI500 series accelerators are delivering comparable performance to NVIDIA's flagship B300 chips, specifically in AI inference workloads.
Inference, not training. Remind us of the difference and why it matters.
Training is the massively expensive, energy-intensive process of teaching an AI model on a vast dataset. Inference is the much more frequent, lower-cost process of using that trained model to make a prediction or generate a response. As AI becomes embedded in products, the market for inference will be orders of magnitude larger than for training. AMD achieving parity here is a significant commercial threat to NVIDIA.
So how does this affect a U.S. or European company that's building AI into its products or factory lines?
It introduces genuine competition, which is crucial. European automakers, U.S. aerospace firms, and anyone deploying machine vision on a production line can now start to escape NVIDIA's vendor lock-in with its proprietary CUDA software. AMD is aggressively pushing its open-source alternative, ROCm, which hyperscalers like Microsoft and Meta are adopting. This gives manufacturers negotiating leverage and a second source for critical hardware.
What should trading companies be aware of here?
The market for AI hardware is diversifying. Distributors who have focused exclusively on NVIDIA products should immediately be building expertise and partnerships around AMD's MI500 series. The actionable insight for executives is to initiate pilot programs using AMD hardware now. The performance is there, and building familiarity with the open-source software stack will give your company strategic flexibility and protect you from the pricing power of a single supplier market.
This diversification is happening at the chip level, but we're also seeing the big AI labs like OpenAI take matters into their own hands.
Exactly. On June 30th, OpenAI announced details of its custom AI inference chip, codenamed Jalapeno, co-developed with Broadcom. This is an application-specific integrated circuit, or ASIC, designed to do one thing exceptionally well: run OpenAI's models efficiently.
This sounds a lot like what Apple did with its own silicon for the iPhone.
It's precisely that strategy: vertical integration. By designing the chip and the software together, you get massive gains in performance and cost efficiency. Google has its TPUs, Amazon has Trainium, and now OpenAI has Jalapeno. They are all trying to reduce their billion-dollar dependence on NVIDIA and control their own destiny.
What does a U.S. industrial robotics company or a European medical device manufacturer need to understand about this trend?
It means the cloud isn't a commodity. The performance of your AI application will increasingly depend on which cloud you use and what custom silicon it runs on. A model optimized for OpenAI's Jalapeno may not run as efficiently on Google's TPU or Amazon's Inferentia. Manufacturers need to consider the full stack, from the foundational model down to the custom chip it runs on, when choosing a cloud partner.
So, for a distributor or a systems integrator, what's the play?
The key is to develop expertise in these different hardware ecosystems. You can no longer just be an AI expert. You need to be an expert in deploying on AWS with Trainium or on Azure with its Maia chips. The actionable insight for executives: don't just ask your tech team which AI model you should use. Ask them which hardware and software stack provides the best performance per dollar for your specific use case. This decision is becoming as strategic as the choice of the AI model itself.
So we have this explosion in specialized hardware, but deploying it effectively inside a business is another challenge entirely. It seems Amazon Web Services is making a big move to address that.
A very big move. On June 30th, AWS announced a $1 billion investment to create an AI Field Deployment Engineering Team, or FDE. This is a model pioneered by Palantir, where highly skilled engineers are embedded directly within a client's organization.
So instead of just giving a company an API and a user manual, AWS is sending in its own engineers to build custom AI systems on site?
Precisely. They'll go into a factory or a corporate office, get a deep understanding of the business challenges, and collaboratively build and implement bespoke AI applications. This is a direct response to a major barrier to AI adoption: the lack of specialized in-house expertise at most companies. OpenAI and Anthropic have announced similar multi-billion dollar initiatives.
How does this change the game for a European manufacturer trying to implement, say, predictive maintenance or automated quality control?
It dramatically lowers the barrier to entry for complex, high ROI projects. A German machine tool manufacturer, for instance, might not have a team of 20 AI PhDs, but with an AWS FDE team, they can leverage Amazon's expertise to integrate AI directly with their legacy systems and production data, ensuring a higher success rate. This is a shift from selling AI as a product to selling it as a fully managed, hands-on service.
What should Western trading and distribution companies know?
This creates a new channel. Systems integrators and consulting firms should be looking to partner with these FDE teams. AWS will need local expertise to understand specific industries and regional business practices. The actionable insight for executives is to investigate these FDE-style programs. If a lack of internal talent has been holding back your AI initiatives, this model could be the accelerator you've been looking for. It's a way to de-risk major AI projects.
While the West races to build and deploy, there's a parallel race happening in China, and a new report suggests they're catching up faster than many expected.
That's a critical development. A report from June 29th indicates that Chinese AI developer Zipu AI's new model, GLM 5.2, has matched the performance of Anthropic's powerful Mythos model in specific cybersecurity benchmarks.
Cybersecurity benchmarks? That sounds concerning. What does that mean in practical terms?
It means the Chinese model is demonstrating advanced capabilities in specialized domains, like vulnerability analysis and identifying malicious code. It's a signal that Chinese AI is moving beyond generalist chatbots and is now achieving parity in high-stakes strategic applications. This is no longer about imitation. It's about competitive, independent R&D.
What are the direct implications for U.S. and European technology and manufacturing firms?
First, for any company operating in cybersecurity, this means a new, formidable competitor. But the larger impact is on the semiconductor supply chain.
As Chinese AI models get better, domestic demand for high-performance chips will soar. Given U.S. export restrictions, this will only accelerate China's drive for chip self-sufficiency. For U.S. companies like NVIDIA and Micron, this signals a long-term risk to their Chinese market share.
So, for trading companies, is China becoming a no-go zone for advanced tech?
It's becoming a more complex, bifurcated market. Some Western components will be designed out, while opportunities for non-restricted technologies might grow. The key is understanding exactly where the lines of the export controls are drawn. The actionable insight here is for any executive with supply chain exposure to China, you must accelerate your China Plus One strategy. The push for a self-sufficient Chinese tech stack is intensifying, and the performance of models like GLM 5.2 proves that it's a credible threat.
With all this rapid development, the regulators are trying to keep up. We just saw a significant update to the landmark EU AI Act.
Yes, the EU has approved reforms with some important timeline changes. The compliance deadline for high-risk AI systems, things like medical devices or critical infrastructure management, has been pushed back. Standalone systems now have until December 2027, and embedded systems have until August 2028.
So, a bit of breathing room for businesses.
For some requirements, yes. The EU recognized that the technical standards needed for compliance were developing slower than expected. However, and this is the crucial part, they accelerated the deadline for transparency obligations. Rules requiring the clear labeling of AI-generated content, like deepfakes, will now come into force in December 2026.
How does this affect a U.S. manufacturer or software company selling into the European market?
It means you have to prioritize your compliance roadmap differently. The pressure is on, right now, to build systems that can identify and label AI-generated content. For a manufacturer using AI for marketing materials or customer service bots, you have just over 2 years to get this right. The longer-term, more complex work for high-risk systems can be planned on a 2027-2028 timeline.
What's the key takeaway for trading companies or distributors?
If you are distributing software or hardware that generates content, your European customers will soon be demanding features that support these transparency rules. It becomes a market access requirement. The actionable insight for executives is twofold. First, immediately task your legal and technical teams to address the December 2026 transparency deadline. Second, use the extension on high-risk compliance to engage with industry bodies and regulators to help shape the technical standards that will ultimately govern your products. This delay is an opportunity to influence the final rules.
All right, Troy, that was a lot to cover. Let's distill it down. What are the three key strategic takeaways for our listeners this week?
First, the AI hardware supply chain is the new geopolitical battleground, but it's also diversifying. The $252 billion investment in South Korea's HBM capacity shows where the core bottlenecks are. For Western firms, this means opportunities to supply the picks and shovels, but also a mandate to de-risk. With AMD now matching NVIDIA on inference and custom chips like OpenAI's Jalapeno emerging, executives must actively pilot alternatives to avoid vendor lock-in. Second, the model for AI implementation is shifting from do-it-yourself to done-for-you. AWS's billion-dollar investment in on-site engineering teams proves that the biggest barrier to adoption is expertise, not just technology. U.S. and European manufacturers should actively seek out these embedded partnerships to accelerate deployment and de-risk complex projects on the factory floor. And third, the global AI landscape is fracturing, both competitively and regulatorily. Chinese models are achieving performance parity in strategic areas, accelerating their push for tech independence. Meanwhile, the EU AI Act is setting the global regulatory tempo. Western executives must develop a dual-track strategy, one that hedges against supply chain risks from China, and one that builds compliance with European rules, starting with transparency, into product design from day one.
A complex landscape, but with clear actions to take. That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Thank you, Troy.
Thank you, Susie.
And thank you for tuning in to Troy Technical Intelligence. To make sure you never miss an update, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back next week with more analysis on the technology driving your business.